opinions expressed on this podcast are that of the hosts and represent no other individual, organisation or entity. All right, everyone.
Hello, Roger.
Hi, Adam.
We were just talking the Father podcast. We haven't actually done an in-person one probably for about a month, maybe longer.
No, so it's great to be at your place and seeing you to chat about the news this fortnight. We are Adam and Roger, and the podcast you're listening to is Adam and Roger Break the News. And the reason why it's been slightly longer since our last one is purely because Adam and I are very, very busy people with very, very busy lives. We've been through a lot this last month, haven't we? And with work and everything.
Exactly, yeah. And I might just be about to get a little more busy if I end up doing campaigning as well.
Exactly. So we have to podcast responsibly. Plus, those of you who listened to our last podcast a fortnight ago, which was remote recording, might have realised there were a lot of issues. It was very stressful. So I think what we've decided to do is, it's kind of good news and bad news. The good news is we're probably only going to record podcasts in person now, which will mean a higher level of quality.
Yeah.
But the bad news is that means they won't be as frequent. We'll probably just podcast once a fortnight instead of once a week.
Yeah, and I think when we started off doing them remotely, but I remember in the summer when we were covering the May elections, actually, and then the Battle of Spenbum, I think we were doing it in person every week anyway. We're at one time, I know we're doing alternate weeks now, but I think we were doing it in person every week at one point. Remember when we used to go to the Horse and Groom?
Yeah, well, maybe in the summertime, the weather is getting better now, we'll be able to get out and get to the pub a bit more.
Yeah, possibly. We'll just have to wait and see. Over the summer holidays, we may bring it back to a weekly one, but we'll have to wait and see.
It's just how much we can juggle our lives and the podcast.
Obviously, I'll probably still be working over the summer holidays, but you'll probably have a bit more free time then, won't you? So.
But we always want to bring you a quality show, and we always want to enjoy ourselves as well. If you have any feedback about it, if you have a complaint about it, then you can email us at breakthenewspod@gmail.com. We'd be great to hear from you, and we will listen to any feedback you give us. Be the first one.
Certainly. And what we were probably both shocked about is that we've got 2 weeks worth of news this week, and we literally clashed on two articles, and we're only choosing three each. So we've ended up only having 4 articles in total. So
well, it's quality over quantity, though. I'm sure we've got plenty to say about both.
Yep, I'm sure we do. So I want to update you on my last 2 park run times. Last week I got 19:44 at Harton Park Run, which was actually a PB, but came second. This week I came first, but I got 19:47. So 2 very similar times, but obviously 3 seconds slower than last week and 3 seconds slower than my PB. Harton this week, so it wasn't necessarily a great time. I almost ended up in second place, but I managed to stay in first. How do you think I'm doing with my running to say that I'm working and everything?
Absolutely awesome. You should be dead proud of yourself, Adam.
And I do often win them at Harton, don't I?
And with the weather getting better, I bet you're seeing more runners going out now as well, more competition.
The faster runners do generally go to them all year round anyway, so I've never noticed much difference. But yes, I might find that there might be more competition. The person that came second seems to be going to Harton every week, and he seems to be improving week on week. So I'm probably going to struggle to beat him now. He's probably going to be in front of me if he keeps improving.
And now travel's a trickier issue for you. Is it Harton every week for you now?
Harton nearly every week for me. I know next week we celebrate my mum's birthday, so my mum's going to put her birthday on Sunday, so I'm going to go to her house, but she's going to pick me up. So she said she'd take me to a park run over her direction, so it probably won't be Harton next week, but it's going to be Harton nearly every week now, I think. I mean, if I have more time, which I don't at the moment because I'm trying to get leaflets started and stuff in the summer, if I'm up early, I might choose to get on a bus and travel maybe a bit to get to a park run, or even run a bit further if I'm up early to get to a further one. So it'll probably be hard on most weeks, but I might end up changing it if I get a bit more time. But like I say, I do just have to manage my time as well. But yeah, it does appear to me that Harton's probably going to be most weeks now.
And this week I'm finishing up my diet. I've got one more set of 5-2 days to go, and then I'll be replacing that with exercise. So I need to start thinking about that myself.
Yeah, have you decided? Is it swimming for you?
Swimming and walking, and I might try running, but not park runs yet. Not till I feel more confident.
You could always start with jogging before running.
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely need to build it up.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm getting a lot of exercise at work at the minute, and that's really taking up quite a lot of my life. It's a very busy time at my work right now. I'm enjoying it very much. It's quite an exciting time too, but very busy.
Yeah, and it seems to have been very busy in the last 2 weeks with news, and I could have had plenty more news, but obviously, like I say, we both covered the big news stories. We could have mentioned about Lee Anderson's defection, and seeing as though we haven't actually got a news, I just want to ask a quick question about this, because obviously I'm sure the listeners will want to hear our opinions. What did you think about Lee Anderson's defection to Reform UK?
Doesn't surprise me at all. A rat leaving the sinking ship. He probably will be the first of many.
Do you reckon many will go to Reform UK?
I think there'll be a fair few, yeah.
And do you think any Labour ones will go there?
Maybe a couple, but
I can't even see a single Labour one going to Reform UK, because Reform UK are to the right of the Conservative Party in terms of politics, so it'd be like Labour switching completely to another side. And why would Labour go to Reform UK when they're riding really high in the polls? I doubt they will. So what I do actually see is possible. Some of Labour MPs in places with high Muslim populations might choose to go to the Workers' Party, George Galloway's party. It wouldn't surprise me if that happened.
I don't think George Galloway will win any other seats than Rochdale, just like respect.
Don't you? So you don't think he stands a chance in Bradford West?
No. Bradford won't have him again. Ooh. Bradford West are probably going to vote in a very, very, very good independent candidate called Muhammad Ali.
And you reckon he'll stand at general elections as well, do you?
I don't know. He's an ambitious young man, but I'd have to ask him.
We'll have to wait and see. Who knows what's going to happen at the general election. But if independent candidates very, very rarely get elected at general elections, I don't think it's happened for a decade. So not sure if that would be possible. But like I say, parties can get elected. But like I say, small parties, it's really difficult.
Best to take it one election at a time then.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Obviously, we've got the May elections first, which Richie Sunak's actually ruled out a general election in May, so that's not going to be happening.
And it tallies up with my prediction of an election in July.
Yep, although the bookies don't seem to agree. I think they've got about 16 to 1 for an election in July. So, like I say, it's up to Richie Sunak when he calls the election. And the only date that is ruled out is the 2nd of May. And he's got to give so much day's notice. But yeah, he's ruled out the 2nd of May to rule out all those rumours. So we'll just have to wait and see. That's if he can stay as Prime Minister that long. We have questioned that a lot, because I'm not sure he can stay as Prime Minister a lot, because there's many Conservative MPs that are trying to get him removed, so there might be a leadership contest coming up soon.
And I think if another unelected Prime Minister came in, that would just batter the Tories even more. That would be a big mistake for them, I think.
The polls already suggest that they're already better than that, they're already loose. So yeah, they've got to try something, haven't they?
Maybe.
Without any further ado, let's get on to this podcast. We haven't seen each other in a few weeks, so there were a lot of news to catch up with there briefly. So we've got kind of like gone through some of it, but obviously we haven't covered the news that we're talking about today. So with the start of the budget, so Jeremy Hunt's budget introduced several key measures. The ones that ChatGPT have decided to include the 2p reduction in national insurance, new tax on vaping starting in October 2026, increase in the salary threshold for claiming child benefit, replacement of the non-dom tax regime in April 2025. £5,000 UK ISA tax allowance for UK focused shares. Expansion of full child benefits up to £60,000 household income. Extension of the repayment period for emergency budget loans. Continuation of the government fund to aid those facing cost of living pressures. Removal of the £90 admin fee for debt relief orders. Freeze on alcohol duty until February 2025. Increase in tobacco duty by £2 per 100 cigarettes. Extension of the freeze on fuel duty and windfall tax on energy firms. Increase in air passenger duty for business class tickets, investments in green energy projects, and the purchase of the Welfare nuclear site, reduction of the higher rate of tax on property sales from 28% to 24%, removal of tax breaks for holiday let property owners, and stamp duty tax breaks for multiple property purchases, economic growth predictions and inflation forecasts, NHS budget increase and small business related charges such as VAT threshold adjustment and extension of COVID era loan schemes, devolved government funding and allocation for a memorial honouring Muslims who served in World War One and Two, introduction of a tax credit for independent UK films with budgets under £15 million. Now, what did you actually think of this budget?
There wasn't too much in there that infuriated me, and it was mostly quite good news. A few things in there that piqued my interest was, I always like seeing a windfall tax placed on the energy companies, so no problem with that. The whole budget was trending on Twitter straight away because it began with the announcement of this £1 million memorial that nobody, not even the Muslims, have asked for. And I think that kind of shows just how out of touch the government are, really, that they've kind of thought, oh, there's a lot of unhappy Muslims about at the moment. We've noticed them protesting. I know what they must want. They must want a memorial for World War II. No, they don't. Those protesting Muslims want a ceasefire to the Israel-Gaza conflict, you goons. And nothing else is going to help. Even Muslims don't want this memorial. So it's just a pointless, idiotic waste of time, and it makes them look like idiots. The other thing that worried me about the budget was how little the education sector was mentioned in there at a time when there are literally crumbling schools around, not just for rack concrete. We're looking at teacher shortages and staff shortages in many schools. That kind of alarms me that education was looked at so little. That worries me about the government's priorities. What did you think, Adam?
There were a few things that stood out on the blue. I feel like the government just wants to make it look like they're doing something for Muslims to, I don't know whether that's to try and win over the votes or what, but I don't think anyone were expecting that at all. Like I say, everything else was just tax cuts, really, and stuff, so, and which I think was pretty much expected. Obviously, people won't have known the full detail until after the budget, but nothing really stood out other than that, to be honest.
At least it wasn't tax cuts, but only for the rich. The tax cuts were quite across the board for this one. So I thought it was, in general, quite a balanced budget. We've certainly had a lot worse.
What do you mean a lot worse? Like the Liz Truss one?
Yeah.
That one of the best budgets there were?
I, at the time, remember looking at it and thinking, well, she's only reducing taxes for all the rich companies and her rich mates.
Well, that's true. But, yeah, she did have a policy saying growth, growth, growth.
And that policy shrank the economy overnight.
Well, the markets, it were a massive shock to the system, wasn't it? And until investors could assess the situation, they all pulled the money from everything. So,
well, this budget certainly hasn't been that disastrous, and Rishi and Jeremy Hunt will be very pleased about that.
Yes, the Conservatives are still not polling very well. So, like I say, nothing can seem to lift them in the polls. Everyone seems to be completely against the Conservatives, but like I say, still can't understand what they've done a lot worse than Labour.
You can't say they're not trying, though, because they made another big announcement this week.
Yes.
This is Michael Gove. He named five groups that he said would be assessed against a new government definition of
extremism.
Now, I think this news kind of comes as politicians are papping themselves as protests and disruption in the capital gets worse and worse as the weather gets better. Groups judged to meet the new definition, expected to be named in the coming weeks, will be blocked from receiving government funding and meeting officials. The definition has been met with backlash from civil liberty and community groups, with two of the groups mentioned by Mr. Gove already threatening legal action if they end up on the list. The community secretary has said a list of organisations meeting the new definition will be drawn up following careful reviews of evidence and consultation with civil servants. But speaking in the Commons, he said the British Nationalist Socialist Movement and Patriotic Alternative would see their activities assessed against the new definition. He said the groups promote neo-Nazi ideology and were precisely the types of groups about which we should be concerned. He also named the Muslim Association of Britain, CAGE, and Muslim Engagement and Development, MEND, as organisations that give rise to concern for their Islamist orientation and views. We will be holding these and other organisations to account to assess if they meet our definition of
extremism
and will take action as appropriate, he said. He defined Islamism as a totalitarian ideology that calls for an Islamic state governed by Sharia law and should not be conflated with Islam itself. The new definition will define
extremism
as the promotion or advancement of an ideology based on violence, hatred or intolerance that aims to, number one, negate or destroy the fundamental rights and freedom of others, or, number two, undermine, overturn or replace the UK's system of liberal parliamentary democracy and democratic rights, or three, intentionally create a permissive environment for others to achieve the results in one or two. What do you think of those named groups there, Adam, and these definitions?
I think there are some pros and cons. Like I say, we do need to protect extremism from running riot. We can't have death threats. But then, on the other hand, we've also got to balance that with freedom of speech. And this was mainly supposed to be in reaction to the protests that we've seen week on week. But then, obviously, they probably thought, oh, we can't just be targeting Muslims here, so they're throwing a couple of far-right organisations to try to close down as well. So I think this seems a little bit dodgy to me when you've got them putting in a policy for one thing, but then you're trying to get the opposite end closed down as well. It just seems like they're just doing it to make it look like they're not being racist here.
Does it kind of promote more extremism and division by saying these people on one side are over here and these people are over here? I wonder if Adam and Roger Break the News will end up on the list. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? At least we get a few more listeners.
Well, yeah, you might get a few more people looking up. I know what it was, but...
But I think his definition of extremism is quite interesting, especially that first point, because looking at that definition, I think I can name one very strong group who hasn't been suggested here. Which group of people did, number one, negate or destroy the fundamental rights and freedoms of others? Like, say, for example, if you told the entire population to stay in their houses for the best part of a year, or force them to have a vaccine, that sort of extremism. That sounds to me like the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. Because they both did it to us. They both voted for it.
So do you agree with that definition of extremism?
if we are going with this list of definition, then the British government meets this
definition. So why has no one in the media actually mentioned that? That's what I can't understand.
Number two, undermine, overturn or replace the UK system of liberal parliamentary democracy. Yeah. The last two prime ministers we've had haven't been voted in.
And then you've also got intentionally create a permissive environment for others to achieve the results in having a two-party system. That's supported that. So the main two political parties here seem to be covering all of those three definitions.
I think Gove has shown himself up for the idiot that he is here by spouting his mouth off about this. They've tried to just put the hate on these five groups and maybe a few others once, you know, this little list is made. But instead they should be looking at themselves and doing a better job themselves instead of hating on others.
The list is only going to grow, let's put it that way. Yeah, it does seem a little bit dodgy that, and I think it will be used, like Nigel Farage said, in future for just closing down legitimate debates. So, yeah, I do think it is concerning. And what's also in the news is MPs' pay as well, which I don't think you were too happy about either.
It is hard to think about, and it does stick in the craw when you hear that MPs are set to receive a 5.5% pay increase from April, which raises their annual salary to just over £91,000, according to the Independent Parliamentary Standards Authority, that's IPSA. But when I think about it with a logical head, I have got some more to say about it. So the decision aligns with the recent rise granted to senior civil servants, as IPSA aims to ensure fairness for both MPs and the public. IPSA emphasises the importance of supporting a parliament that reflects society's diversity and recognises the vital role MPs play in democracy, especially considering ongoing economic challenges. Additionally, IPSA has announced a doubling of severance pay for MPs leaving parliament at the next general election, expected later in the year, to more than 20,000. This change comes after nearly 100 MPs, including the former Prime Minister Theresa May, declaring they will not stand for re-election. And I think that's the lead that's buried in this story, Adam. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of MPs are now frightened, aren't they? So, you know, because of all people protesting outside the houses, they do have a tough job and I do think they need to be paid highly.
Do you know what? Surprisingly, Adam, I agree. I do think MPs should be paid well, but they should earn it as well. I think they should do a £91,346 worth of thoughtfulness and leadership and good decision-making.
So do you mean like not appearing on news channels like GB News and actually working in the constituencies and in Parliament and doing the jobs?
I don't know. I think it is important for MPs to actually go on the news and be accountable, but yeah, it's also important for them to represent their constituents and do that well.
But you've got some MPs who are actually GB News presenters now, where they present a whole show.
I think their constituents should have some sort of say in how much of that pay the MPs get.
Mm.
And as for the severance pay, that is the thing that really sticks in my craw, because loads of them know that they're going to be losing their jobs later this year, so they've just guaranteed themselves 20 grand there.
Yeah.
A 20 grand golden goodbye. Golden boot.
Yeah, well, I've tried to get that high because they know full well that they're going to lose the seats.
And I'm sorry, but I do not believe that IPSA or any of these independent bodies the government use are actually that independent.
Yeah, there's a lot of dodgy stuff that goes on behind the scenes, which obviously we don't find out about in the last few years. We have found out about a lot more because of technology, especially in COVID.
So, well, I can say I'm not delighted about the MP's pay increase. I am prepared to tolerate it, assuming that all of our new MPs that get elected, whenever that happens, actually earn it.
I honestly doubt they will, and I think Labour will be much worse than what the Conservatives are at the moment.
I certainly know you've got a more unjust waste of money coming up here, Adam.
Yes, and I'm going to be honest here, I couldn't actually stand this policy. So failed asylum seekers in the UK may soon be offered up to £3,000 to relocate to Rwanda voluntarily, according to a new scheme reported by the Times. The initiative aims to address the situation of those whose asylum claims have been rejected and who cannot return to their home countries. Business Minister Kevin Hollenrake views this as a cost-effective solution compared to the expenses of keeping such individuals in the UK. The government's plan to send illegal arrivals to Rwanda was previously halted by the courts due to safety concerns. However, this voluntary relocation scheme is independent of the safety of Rwanda Bill and would provide support to individuals upon their arrivals. Labour's Shadow Immigration Minister Stephen Kinnock criticised the scheme, citing Rwanda's limited capacity and urging transparency regarding the number of people expected to participate and the associated costs. So, £3,000 per person to relocate to Rwanda voluntarily. What do you think about this?
Two things come to mind. Number one, I think the money would be better spent if we said give £3,000 as a bounty for every person who turns in an illegal migrant and then we can get them deported. But another thing that comes to mind is how many of these payments are we going to give out? Because so far, the grand total of migrants sent to Rwanda has been
zero.
So I tell you, I would almost be willing to bet £3,000 that no one's going to Rwanda.
Somehow I think it'll get blocked even if they want to go voluntarily. And I think the people that are coming here won't want to go there anywhere. Otherwise, then why would they be paying the smugglers so much money? But also, if they find a cheap route to come here, they might actually come here to grab the money and then go to Rwanda. This scheme could be open to abuse.
You could earn yourself an easy £3,000 by putting on your scruffiest clothes, walking along a beach in Dover, getting picked up, and then saying, oh, take me to Rwanda with and give me £3,000, please.
But it's not actually coming to force yet, but I mean, when it does, that's what I mean.
Well, this is it. We haven't taken anyone to
Rwanda. This scheme is absolutely open to abuse. Originally, we were supposed to be departing people and not giving them £3,000, which I thought were a great idea. But that's not been, they haven't allowed that to go ahead. So giving it £3,000, I'm furious about the change of policy here. I like the old policy.
It's idiotic and moronic. And they haven't even sent anyone to Rwanda yet, so it's a complete waste of oxygen.
It appears that they're taking the public for complete fools here by just making themselves sound tough on immigration, even when they know it's not going to work. I can see clearly this scheme's not going to work here.
The reckoning for this government is coming.
But like I say, I do think Labour will be an awful lot worse, unfortunately.
One other thing that we haven't mentioned on the podcast this week, and I can't believe I've left this out, is the US presidential race. It looks like it is indeed going to be Trump against Biden. Trump. It's happening. President Trump.
Do you think he's going to be the new president?
Oh, yeah. The craziness is coming. Hold on to your hats. Trump. It's going to be a heck of a year. I can't wait. I feel like this is kind of the gasp before the dive.
Yeah, and then what about if Penny Mordaunt becomes Prime Minister? Do you think the Conservatives could get elected for another 4 or 5 years?
If the second coming of Jesus stood as Conservative leader, they would not get themselves re-elected.
Do you think if, I know it wouldn't happen, but do you think if Nigel Farage stood as leader, do you think that might change things?
Nope.
Even if Keir Starmer stood as leader
of the Conservative Party?
No, it wouldn't happen.
No, wouldn't. I think that the Conservatives...
The brand. You mean people vote against the brand?
Yeah, that party are done for until 2030 at
They've
least.
They've ruined the brand.
They have, yeah, absolutely. And they definitely need to reform themselves. It's time for a new government. It's time for change.
Do you think this Conservative Party will be completely wiped out at the next general election and then a new Conservative Party like Reform will form up?
Not completely wiped out, no, but I think we are going to see a landslide similar to what we saw when Blair won.
Do you think they'll get any seats in the north with England?
Oh, there'll be some holdouts, I'm sure.
Like Rishi Sunak's seat, like in Richmond?
Yeah, possibly.
But do you think they'll get a single seat in Scotland?
No. No chance.
Do you think it'll all be SNP or Labour, mate?
Yeah, SNP and Labour in Scotland. To be honest, mostly Labour, I suspect.
Yeah, and Labour actually got a new First Minister today, didn't they?
Wasn't that Wales?
Yes. So now we've got the UK Prime Minister, non-white. We've got the Scottish First Minister, non-white. And we've now got the Wales First Minister, non-white. Someone said, should we be concerned about that? Most people in the poll ticked yes.
I will judge people by the content of their character, not the colour of their
exactly. skin. Exactly, but that's what I mean. People point these things out on social media, though.
I think that's a very simplistic and easy way of looking at things, and maybe life is a lot easier if you just judge things by the colour of people's skin, but it's fundamentally wrong.
That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned that people are judging this Prime Minister by his colour of his skin, and that's the reason why he's struggling to budge.
There's so many reasons to hate Rishi Sunak. Why would you be stupid enough to hate him because of the colour of his skin?
I know. I've even looked at past results at local elections, and unfortunately the colour of this candidate's skin does actually make a big difference in terms of results. Like I said, most people don't look at the news. They won't even know the two between them. So they might, unfortunately, because they're not looking at the news, they will judge based on the colour of the skin, won't they? The SNP party is now a lot less popular under the new First Minister than under Nicola Sturgeon.
I think what happened with Nicola Sturgeon has toxified their brand for a while.
So even that's similar to the Conservative Party now. Boris Johnson and Liz Truss toxified Conservative Party's brand.
Yeah. So, in a way, I almost feel sorry for poor Hamza because he's got a lot to prove and I don't think he's going to be given a chance to prove it.
No, so you think Labour will wipe them out?
Yeah. At the same time, though, I don't agree with Scottish independence. Not because I hate Scotland, because I love Scotland and want them to be part of the British Union. I think they're an asset to our country. But I also think it's smart for Scotland to always threaten independence. That way they always get a better deal. Tactics.
They haven't voted for it and they're not going to get another vote unless a Labour government comes into place, which, yeah, they might do, but if a Labour government comes into place, they'll probably vote against it at the start anyway, because they'll want to stay in the UK because they'll think the Labour government's better than the Conservative.
There won't be enough for SNP MPs for them to have a voice, really, I think.
No, I don't think they will.
Well, I hope that our dear listeners have been entertained and informed listening to us look into the news.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. I think it's about time we've got to have a bit of a rest. I certainly need one.
And the next time you'll hear from us, dear listener, will be just before Easter, I believe.
I believe so, yes. I'm not sure when Easter is.
2 weeks on Sunday, yes. I think.
Hopefully we'll see you then. But like I say, if you do want to comment, get in touch at bitthenewspod@gmail.com.
So enjoy the start of spring. Take care, everyone.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.
As someday it may happen that a victim must be found, I've got a little list, I've got a little list of society offenders who might well be underground and who never would be missed, who never would be missed. There's the guy who sits beside you and keeps farting on the plane, and Shakira's lyricist, I've got him on the list, and the smarty on Thanksgiving who says it's the tryptophan, he never would be missed. He never would be missed. There's the blonde who tells you loudly with a voice just like a knife, you know, someone should do a sitcom based around my life. The guy who watched The Simpsons back in 1994 and won't admit the damn thing isn't funny anymore. And anyone and everyone who's ever made me pissed.
Made me pissed. Made me really, really pissed.
I've got them on the list. They none of them.
He's got them on the list. He's got them on the list, and they none of them be missed.
They none of them be missed.
None of them be missed.